This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Mokhtar and Philip C. First now, though, we are turning our attention to what's happening over in North Korea. Hours after U.S. President Joe Biden left East Asia after a five-day visit last week, North Korea launched three missiles, including a suspected intercontinental ballistic missile, or ICBM, according to the governments of Japan and South Korea. Now, this marked the 17th round of missile testing reported this year alone, and the second since South Korea swore in its new president Yoon Suk-yeol. There have also been reports that North Korea could be planning a seventh nuclear test, its first in 5 years.
Denuclearization talks with North Korea have stalled since 2019 after President Donald Trump's attempt to reach an agreement with Kim Jong-un came to a dead end. To complicate matters, the war in Ukraine has created a divide among the major nuclear powers on the UN Security Council, which were previously fairly united on the North Korean nuclear issue. So Russia and China recently vetoed a Security Council resolution to impose more sanctions on North Korea after its last missile launch.
So what options does the international community have to respond to North Korean actions? For a better understanding of what's at play, we speak to Dr. Hu Chiu-ping, senior lecturer at University Kebangsaan, Malaysia. Chiu-ping, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. So what's your read of North Korea's latest actions in launching missiles just after President Biden's Asia visit? What is North Korea looking to signal?
So North Korea is now signaling that they does not accept that U.S., South Korea, and also Japan are having this trilateral coordination. And obviously, South Korea is now aligning closer to the United States and also Japan. So anything that signal a distancing away from inter-Korean engagement is not welcomed by North Korea, and therefore it is unlikely that the current South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol will receive much reconciliative response from North Korea.
I mean, this is not the first time these missile launches have taken place, right? When they rotate around the U.S. presidential visit around the region. But were you surprised by the nature and style of the missile launches?
The most recent test taken place just last week. There are detections that new technology was involved in the latest ICBM test. So this is a big concern to U.S. and its allies, because this means North Korea is inching closer to mounting nuclear warhead on its intercontinental ballistic missile. So that will not only threaten the wider East Asian region, but potentially reaching the U.S. homeland. So therefore, there is a greater push to sanctions North Korea and also to attempt to denuclearize the country. But as North Korea has shown in the recent years, they became to distrust the United States because of the failure of Hanoi summit in 2019. And the fact that South Korea is not able to convince more regional powers to engage North Korea on the goodwill, and the fact that North Korea itself doesn't accept humanitarian aid and especially vaccination program. So there is a lot of a disconnection and disengagement at this moment.
Now, the Security Council failed to adopt a resolution tightening sanctions on North Korea last week. I'm wondering if you see this standoff resulting from the war in Ukraine affecting how the international community deals with North Korea moving forward. Are there actually any options on the table for the international community to react to North Korea?
So firstly, the United Nations Security Council, this structure has been problematic for quite for some decades now. So because of the veto power of one or two members of the UNSC, a lot of resolutions are not able to be approved and pushed forward. So right now, the United States is introducing unilateral sanctions targeting specific North Korean entities, such as the political elites and also its missile dealing companies. So a more likely scenario that will follow is the fact that More unilateral sanctions will be introduced, mainly by the United States and European Union member states. And other countries are not likely to introduce unilateral sanctions because multilateral regime should be the way to go. So the fact that the UN fails to pass a resolution on sanctioning North Korea, so the effectiveness of sanctioning North Korea, it will actually be reduced. So unless the United States launch a maximum pressure campaign like it does during the Trump administration, in which forcing the other countries to comply with the sanctions requirement. Ukraine and Russia scenario heightened North Korea's perspective that they need more than just deterring potential attack on their nation, but also to strengthen their military might in case of any extraordinary military scenario. So for the international community, not many would make linkages to how Northeast Asian nations would perceive the potential military scenario in the future. However, the dynamic of how larger country can undermine smaller country's sovereignty is definitely on many of the Asian countries' mind.
I mean, this is the biggest central problem, because if you're saying that the crisis in Russia-Ukraine is now getting smaller countries to rethink about their military and defense response, then I wonder how do the neighbors also respond to that kind of strategy shift, especially in view that Japan and South Korea have elected very new governments less than a year ago?
Yes, that's right. So there is a lot of discussion within South Korea that they should go, they should weaponize their nuclear power. So if South Korea determined to go on this path, then Japan will follow suit. So there is a fear of a nuclear proliferation, nuclear arms race. But given the fact that they are allies of the United States, so most probably there would be a pass on their intention to do so. Then North Korea will accuse that why it wasn't being allowed to develop their own nuclear weapons while U.S. allies are allowed to. So the scenario would be that a new Cold War surrounding the Korean Peninsula, and that will also prompt other countries, smaller countries around the world, to rethink about their national security and whether they should acquire nuclear weapons capabilities since North Korea able to do so, and they have been able to hold on to their regime for as long as they can.
So tensions in the region could certainly escalate as a result of all these different factors. Meanwhile, Chuping, North Korea reported its first COVID-19 outbreak earlier this month. What do we know about the COVID-19 situation there and the humanitarian implications this could have?
So North Korea is the first country in the world to shut off its travel between its country and China in January 2020. So since then, they have been reporting zero cases. So the fact that they started to announce at this time was quite peculiar and curious. So we believe that it was because of the mass mobilization from every military troop around the country to Pyongyang to participate in the military parade on 25th of April is the catalyst to the most recent outbreak. So Kim Jong-un trying to show this, possibly to ask for immediate medical attention and assistance. However, what they really asked for was not delivered to them. For example, North Korea is suspicious of AstraZeneca's effectiveness, so they are reluctant to receive that vaccine from COVAX. So I believe some of their population has been vaccinated with Sinovac or CoronaVac, given how much interaction between China and North Korea has. However, maybe the efficiency also proven to be less than satisfactory, because it is proven that the traditional vaccination method has to be mixed with mRNA vaccine to make it more desirable. So North Korea did request the mRNA types of vaccine, but no country thus far has pledged to do so except South Korea. But then again, North Korea refused to receive any assistance from South Korea. And this left North Korea in the deadlocked situation. So now they are going back to the lockdown mode. But more disinfection facility has been set up between North Korea-China border and also North Korea-Russia border. So we can safely assume that more goods exchange between Russia, North Korea, and also China, North Korea would be the survival line that North Korea would rely on.
Chuping, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Hu Chuping, senior lecturer at University Kebangsaan Malaysia, weighing in on what's happening in North Korea with regards to its COVID-19 outbreak, but also talking about the larger factors in the region and whether we're on the cusp of increased nuclearization in the Korean Peninsula and also in other parts of the world.
It's fascinating how the Russian-Ukraine crisis, which we think is quite isolated between Europe, has broader global implications about how countries, you know, think about their military strategy. It also has broader implications about how the United Nations functions now. When you talk about taking multilateral actions and how there's a big distinction between the effectiveness of multilateral sanctions versus unilateral sanctions.
That's right. And I think that is the real, I guess, downside of what's happening in Ukraine, the fact that multilateral institutions can't come to an agreement, and hence unilateral sanctions seem to be the way forward. But these are effective, and this in turn just weakens multilateral platform effectiveness.
And we need multilateral action to sort out, you know, global issues. You know, if we talk about the broader issue of defense, climate, that's multilateral action.
Indeed. 7:49 in the morning, we're heading into some messages, and after that we have a discussion on how should e-cigarettes and vaping be regulated. It's World No Tobacco Day today. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.